Over the last few weeks, the Discovery team and members of this congregation have hosted booths at Central Coast Pride. You may have heard a little bit about that last week. Our intentions were simple and simply to be present, show those attending that they were loved, and that if they had questions, we would do our best to answer them. We didn't pretend like we had all the answers. As with all of our Discovery team outings, our hope was to take the core of what we do here and who we are within the walls of St. Benedict's out into the community. We had so many beautiful moments that not only impacted those we interacted with, but transformed us a little as well, maybe a lot. You'll have to talk to those who were there. One of those moments happened during Pride Fest, when a younger person walked up to the table, a little unsure of what to ask. They seemed confused by our presence there at the festival. We did our general spiel, we're St. Benedict's, here's who we are, all that stuff. And I asked a few questions, and they shared a story about an unpleasant incident that was religious in nature. I don't want to go into all the details. We don't have an hour for my sermon today. But all they wanted was for it to make sense, that we could share a message of love and acceptance while the other folks that they encountered had such a different message. I tried to explain our theology a bit, but it wasn't really connecting for them. I saw them start to tear up a little bit. So I asked if it'd be okay if I gave them a hug. And as we embraced, they said, "All I want to do right now is hate you, but also can't help but love you." And I said, and then they said, "I don't know what to do with that." So I responded by saying, "If you need to hate me, it's okay, because I know what I might represent to you, and I can handle it. And so can God. God can handle all of our hurt and anger too. All of your feelings are valid." And I made sure they knew what happened to them wasn't okay, and that if they heard nothing else that I said, to know that all they were was loved, and that that was the truth with a capital T. And our conversation continued for a bit, and I shared my information with them, along with an invitation to coffee anytime. And while this is a very short snippet of our conversation, it captures the essence and is an important reminder of why our welcome and presence in all of our many communities as a people called to share God's love is so important. And in our gospel text for today, we encounter the call of Matthew as a disciple with the words from Jesus, "Follow me." Matthew would soon experience what it would mean to be a disciple of Jesus. His first experience is what I would imagine to be somewhat uncomfortable in a dinner with what are now former colleagues of his and other common folks that Jesus tended to attract. As Jesus explains to those who questioned him, he desires mercy and that those who are well have no need of a physician. And in this response, Jesus shares with those listening that an important component of faith is a willingness to participate. Those who are ill are more likely to know they need care. Those who are sinners might seek mercy as the care they need. And the key here is action, reminding us that following Jesus is not a passive process. It meant something that Jesus called Matthew to be a disciple. Tax collectors were known to be unpopular in their time, often not well liked for their work, and sometimes people of questionable reputations. That he would be called into discipleship truly shows that no one is kept from Jesus's table. Jesus chose him, knowing who he was and what he was doing. This might resonate for some of us. As the text continues, a leader humbles himself before Jesus and asks for help with his daughter. As they go to see what has happened, a woman comes up to Jesus to touch his clothes so that she can be healed. This action, this movement, is the faith that Jesus says has healed her, not the touching of his clothes. As Jesus and the disciples move on to the daughter, Jesus says that she is just sleeping, and he goes into the house and takes her hand, and she awakens. After these healings, word spreads of all that Jesus has done. I would probably share that news too. An important note in both healing stories is that Jesus is upending the social norms by interacting with these two women. Both would have been outcasts of their society and socially unclean. The woman who touched his cloak was careful not to touch him directly, yet their interaction would have been a very unpopular choice in Jesus's time. Touching a deceased woman would have also been an unpopular choice and unclean, yet Jesus did not hesitate to follow her father to help, to show him and his daughter mercy. The call of Matthew and the dinner following, along with the healing of the two women, provide us with a very powerful example of what it means to be called as disciples of Jesus. And who it is that we should be including and welcoming around our table. Maybe we can find ourselves connecting with a story in some way. Maybe we see ourselves in the woman who just is hoping to reach out and touch Jesus's cloak, not sure of what will happen, yet hoping, holding on to faith that something will happen if we just keep trying. Or maybe we're the leader, humbled in prayer, asking for help for a situation well beyond our control. Or maybe we find ourselves a part of the Pharisees, still unsure why Jesus cast such a wide net, eating with those tax collectors and sinners to begin with, because that's just hard work in our modern times. I would imagine we all find ourselves connecting with different parts of this text at different moments of our lives, or even days. It can be a minute-to-minute thing, right? This text can be complex in that way, as most of the text in the Bible is. Yet today, I think the message for us might be a little simpler. Would Jesus be welcome at our table, given whom he welcomed at his? And as many of you know, the church in general has not always been a safe place for LGBTQ+ people. And while we do our best to be welcoming and affirming of all of those who walk through our doors, there's always more to learn and work to do. One of the many things that I love about the people in this congregation is the hospitality and willingness to try and love people as they ask to be loved. And that may include using pronouns that take a little effort to remember, doing the inner work to confront our own biases and think critically about what we know and how we've learned it, or being willing to ask questions when we need clarity. And even though it is uncomfortable, as most growth and change are, we keep trying because we know these things are important in respecting the dignity of the people we have grown to love in our community and those who live outside of this place. Everything we learn and connect to within these walls should be applied and shared in some way outside of them. As Jesus calls his disciples to learn, leave their worldly lives behind, so too are we being called to follow Jesus in the same way. While there was no fairy tale ending to the story of the person we met at Pride Fest, they walked away knowing there was a different way of approaching Christianity, a loving God that also loved them without condition. This was just one of many spirit-filled moments that we experienced during our 3 days of tabling. And I highly encourage you to talk to those who were there during those weekends for their stories. You may find a new gospel experience of your own, one that you might be willing to take with you out into the world, or maybe even join us at a future table. To follow the path of Jesus, follow the path that Jesus has laid before all of us, to leave our fear of judgment behind and lean into a life of loving those who would be found at Jesus's table, including ourselves. We don't have to literally give up everything to follow Jesus as Matthew did, yet our text today is calling us into an active faith, calling us into community with one another, to remember that the table is big and wide and ever expanding. And my prayer for us all is that our hearts and minds and souls will be open to how the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, and that we are prepared to answer when Jesus says to us in our daily lives, "Follow me." Amen.